When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into episode 18 of Winnipeg Jets Weekly. I'm your host, Connor Rabchak. The Winnipeg Jets went 3-1 over the past week, including a few overtime winners and a tough loss to the Calgary Flames to start off the week. If this is your first time checking out Winnipeg Jets Weekly, I'm going to roll through these games. We've got four of them to recap, and at the end of it, I'm going to hand out the hardest working Jet, the three stars of the week, and throughout you're going to hear some quotes from Rick Bowness and some players. So without further ado, let's get into that Monday game against the Calgary Flames. We'll hear Rick Bowness' thoughts on this game in a second, but the Jets lose this game 6-3, one of their worst efforts of the season. But in terms of the analytics, funny enough, this was actually the closest game of the week. The Jets got dominated in the analytics when we're going to go through these next couple games. But for this one, it was pretty close. The shots were right there, the Corsi. Calgary won by a little bit. One more Heidinger chance for the Flames. And the expected goals were pretty close as well. But the Jets were just giving up too much through the neutral zone, too much defensively. And it ultimately cost them, dropping this one 6-3 to the Calgary Flames. The Jets, in their post-game press conference, all noted the fact that they played less than 24 hours later against the Minnesota Wild, which they all appreciated. They wanted to turn the page on this game and get back at it, and obviously they bounced back with a win in that game. I'll get into that one in a second, but first let's hear Rick Bowness' thoughts. He had some pretty harsh words in the post game for his team after this 6-3 defeat.
Oh, well, we're up 3-1 because of the power play, so when you take the power play out of that, that's the only reason. That's as soft a 5-on-5 game as we've played all year. That's not us at all. So that didn't even look like the Winnipeg Jets out there. But you know what? We flush it, and we're going to get ready for tomorrow.
If there's one positive to take away from this game, it's the fact that Sean Monahan scored a natural hat trick. He scored all three goals for Winnipeg in the first period, putting them up 3-1. Two of them came on the power play, which has been surging as of late, but it's nice to see him get that against his former team. Obviously, he started his career in Calgary, then went to Montreal, and now he's playing for the Winnipeg Jets. But that was cool to see Sean Monahan getting a natural hat trick in the first period against one of his former teams. The Jets officially turned the page and got a huge 6-3 win the very next night against the Minnesota Wild, a big rivalry game inside Canada Life Center. I don't think it lived up to the hype in that sense with the Ryan Hartman beef from earlier in the season, but the Jets took care of business on the ice. As you can see, if you're here with me on YouTube, the analytics even more so swayed in Minnesota's favor than it was in Calgary's favor, but the Jets just got the bounces on this night. Their power play goes 2-for-4. Gabriel Vilardi scores. He's been dynamite on the power play. I'm going to keep talking about that throughout the episode. We'll get more into that later on with some quotes from Vilardi and Bonus, but for this game in particular, Lauren Brossoit gets the start. He was fantastic. He was the first star of the game, saving 36 of 39 shots sent his way, and the Jets pick up a huge bounce back 6-3 win over their division rival, the Minnesota Wild. The Jets got a balanced scoring attack in this one. Sean Monahan scored another goal in this game, following up his natural hat trick from the Calgary game. Gabriel Vilardi scored two, like I said earlier. Kyle Connor scored. Nino Niederreiter got the empty netter. And Mason Appleton even chipped in, getting his 10th goal of the season to put the Jets up 2-0. So a balanced scoring attack. You see the power play going. The Jets probably had more defensive breakdowns in this game than they would have liked, but ultimately the power play covered up some of their mistakes, and they come away with the 6-3 win over the Minnesota Wild, who are actually in a playoff position right now. They're pushing for one. They're not in one, but they're right around the wild card race. So they're a team that's been surging as of late after making their coaching change, and the Jets, a huge win inside Canada Life Center, the bounce back aspect to it, a huge win in retrospect, and they headed back on the road to take on the Chicago Blackhawks on Friday night. The Jets headed to Chicago to take on Connor Bedard and the Chicago Blackhawks, and they escaped with a 3-2 overtime win. Kyle Connor got the overtime winner, a very weird goal, kind of just was trying to pass the puck across the crease, hit a stick, and went under the armpit of Peter Mrazek, giving the Jets the win. But If you're looking for nice goals, look no further than Nikolaj Ehlers' two goals in regulation. The first one, he's coming down the left wing and picks a corner that I didn't even know was there. And then his second goal, he goes coast to coast, chipping the puck around multiple defenders on his way to scoring. He snapped a 10-game goal drought. It's nice to see him and that line get back in the scoring column. But again, another game here where the Jets, if you look at the expected goals, the Corsi, they lose the analytical battle. This is very uncharacteristic for the Jets and what we've seen all season long, what I've been bringing up on this show, especially against a team like Chicago. For the first 20 minutes, maybe even the first 40 minutes, the Jets controlled this game. The third period, they were hanging on by a thread. Connor Hellebuyck came up huge. And again, Kyle Connor got the OT winner, so they escaped with the win. Connor Bedard has lit up the Jets in the past. Obviously, his first ever game against Winnipeg, he scored the lone goal for Chicago. And then the second game against the Jets, he had both goals in a 2-1 overtime win for the Hawks. And the overtime goal, everyone's seen it. It was played on highlight reels for weeks and weeks. So they were able to shut down Bedard. He had only the one shot on goal in 18 minutes of ice time. Keeping their star player in check, the Jets were able to come away with the win in overtime. Maybe not how Rick Bowness and the players would have liked it, but a win nonetheless, and they were on to Sunday, back in Winnipeg against the Arizona Coyotes. The Coyotes came into this game having lost 10 in a row, and the Jets handed them their 11th. The Jets went up 3-1, kind of blew that lead in the third period, and then Kyle Connor once again in overtime. A 3-on-1 with Mark Scheifele, Josh Morrissey, and Kyle Connor. He finished it off with the one-timer, and the Jets came away with the 2 points. Kyle Connor ended up with 2 goals. He scored his other one on the power play, joining Gabriel Vilardi, who scored a beautiful backhand goal on the power play as well. The Jets' power play went 2-for-3. They stayed red hot, even without Sean Monahan, who missed this game due to an illness. He should be back in the lineup relatively soon, but the power play stayed hot. Vilardi and Connor really found something there, and then Connor obviously got his second goal in overtime. Mark Scheifele had a 4-point night. Josh Morrissey had 3 assists. That wrapped up an incredible week for Morrissey. I'll talk more about that in a second. But let's get Rick Bowness's thoughts on this game. The Jets did go 3-1 over this 4-game stretch that I covered here, but if you've been checking out the graphics behind me here on YouTube, you'll see that they've lost every single game in the expected goals battle, the analytics. Is that a concern? Rick Bowness was asked about it post-game, whether or not they might be relying on a hot power play and their goaltending too much. Their goaltending once again on this night, Connor Hellebuyck was fantastic. Game away with the 2 points, but what were Rick Bowness's thoughts on another game where they lost the 5-on-5 battle?
Then you have been on the system
at times. We were fine in Chicago the other night. We didn't give up much. There's a little bit of that. So we've got it. We can tighten it up. When our structure breaks down, and we'd like the other teams are coming at us. But listen, we have the best winning percentage in the Western Conference. So the little tweaks that we need to stay on top of, we'll stay on top of.
Yeah,
we're doing pretty good.
I guess that, just to go a little bit deeper into that, you staying on top of it, like, is that something that you have to be concerned with? Is it something that you have to guard against?
I'm not concerned about it. Do we have to stay on top of it? Yes, it's going to happen. You play 82 games. Every game is not a Picasso. It's not. And when you see little things creeping in, we address it. So we'll stay on top of it.
So there's Rick Bowness basically saying that they're making tweaks. They're staying on top of things, but they're not concerned. They still have the number one winning percentage in the Western Conference, which is a fact. And they did the winning this week. They did go 3-1. You can't argue with the results. The process, they'll keep an eye on it, but the results, they did go 3-1. I talked about Gabriel Vilardi's goal. He had a beautiful backhand on the power play. He was asked about it post-game. Here's what he had to say.
Again, we've talked about before, but really it's just what the D give me. The first one, I was able to make the seam to Kyle, and he scores, and then I think they gave me a little bit more space. Maybe they're trying to cover him. That's what's good about having a bunch of different options. You know, it keeps PK guessing, but if I have time, I have made that move before, and I was able to score.
And there it is, Gabriel Vilardi. That's going to wrap up our game recaps portion of the episode. Now we're going to get into the awards. We've got the hardest working Jet. We've got the 3 stars of the week. If this is your first time checking out Winnipeg Jets Weekly, make sure you're dropping a like below. Make sure you're hitting the subscribe button and hitting the notification bell so you don't miss videos like this every single Monday morning. Let's get into the hardest working Jet. My hardest working Jet of the week is Vladislav Namestnikov. The first 3 games of this week, he was on the fourth line. He got bumped down when Sean Monahan was brought over to the Winnipeg Jets. But with Monahan missing the game Sunday, he was moved up to the second line, and his game didn't change. He's one of the hardest workers on the team, night in and night out. He brings a consistent effort, and he brings home my hardest working Jet of the week. My third star of the week is Gabriel Vilardi. He had a huge impact in that Tuesday win over the Minnesota Wild. He had two goals, and the power play, the resurgence as of late, I would argue it's largely in part due to Vilardi, his play at the net side. He played great against the Coyotes as well, scoring a goal in the power play and setting up Kyle Connor for his power play goal. A lot of that success is coming from the triangle of Vilardi, Scheifele, and Monahan. Here's what Rick Bonus had to say about Vilardi's effectiveness at the side of the net and how he creates from that spot.
On the power play, it seemed like every time Gabriel Vilardi got the puck at the side of the net there, he was making a different read. What did you see out of him in that spot?
He's very good down there, and he's very patient with the puck, and he does see what the options are. So we'll give him a lot of credit, because some guys just panic with the puck and they may move it too quick, but he's taking advantage of what they're giving him. If he can walk across and give that little flip, he's taking it. If not, he's making a play to the Mark or back to Sean, and he's always looking for KC, that back door. So he's very, very good down by the net, which we saw in training camp. We just haven't had a chance to put them all together.
My second star of the week is Kyle Connor. I mean, he won two games in overtime for the Jets against the Blackhawks. Like I said earlier, a bit of a lucky bounce trying to pass that puck across the crease, and it ends up going in. But against the Coyotes, hardly a lucky bounce, a one-timer that beat Connor Ingram and gave the Jets the win. And anytime you have two overtime winners, you're going to get one of the stars on Winnipeg Jets Weekly. That top line, they did have some analytical struggles this week, but Kyle Connor, nonetheless, is filling the stat sheet once again. He's scoring big goals in big moments for this Jets team. He's my second star of the week on Winnipeg Jets Weekly. I said I was going to bring him back up. My first star of the week is the Jets' number one defenseman, Josh Morrissey. In the four games that I covered here, he had 9 assists. You combine that with the defensive play, the way he defends plays off the rush, and the power play. That's a big reason why his point totals are up. He's been the best Jet this week, and he's earned the number one star of the week. Josh Morrissey, my first star on episode 18 of Winnipeg Jets Weekly. Now, before we get into the upcoming schedule, make sure you're dropping a comment below. Do you agree with my choices for the hardest working Jet and the three stars of the week? While you're down there, drop a like, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, and let's get into the upcoming schedule for the Jets. The Winnipeg Jets have an absolute gauntlet of a schedule coming up in the month of March. Rick Bonus actually talked about it after practice the other day, basically saying they won't have much practice time, and basically saying it's a good thing that they've got the power play sorted out now, because they won't have much time to practice it going into the month of March, and it's a good thing that they figured that out. But in the near future, they've got Tuesday night against the St. Louis Blues. That one's inside Canada Life Center, and it's two playoff teams, the Blues fighting for their playoff lives, another Central Division rival. That should be a great game. Then the Jets will travel on the road to take on the Dallas Stars, a team they've struggled to beat this season, so that should be a great game. And then Saturday afternoon, the Jets will travel east to take on the Carolina Hurricanes, and on the second night of the back-to-back, they will take on the Buffalo Sabres before returning home and taking on the Seattle Kraken on a Tuesday night. And this starts the absolute run of games that the Jets have in the month of March. There will be a lot of games to talk about. I'll be back next week, next Monday morning, to break down those four games on the schedule: Blues, Stars, Hurricanes, and Sabres. So come back next Monday morning for episode 19, where I'll have recaps of those games. That's going to do it for episode 18 of Winnipeg Jets Weekly. I believe this is the first episode I've done where the Jets have played four games, but it was fun nonetheless. Thank you for checking it out. Like I said before, if you haven't dropped a like already or dropped a comment, make sure you head down and do that right now. And join me next Monday for episode 19, another four-game episode. I'll have lots to talk about. I can't wait to see you next week. Have a great week, everyone.